live in Nashville, Tennessee. You are listening to the Nashville Daily Podcast. Nashville's number one daily podcast. Brought to you by Think Nashville. Think Nashville. Think Brad. Think Brad. It's Nashville Daily Podcast.
Hey, Nashville, and welcome to the Nashville Daily Podcast. I'm Stuart Deming, and joining me in the studio today is the man, Aaron Pennington. He's back on the camera today.
I am still vibing to that music.
Your haircut.
I love
it. Your haircut looks fantastic.
Yeah, this haircut is great. We'll talk a little bit about, if you want a good haircut, we can talk about that a little bit later. But if you are looking for something maybe a little more valuable, real estate, right?
You may be looking to get rid of some of your real estate because of all the bank stuff.
Which is, yeah, very, very possible. Whatever.
Or you're looking to buy some real estate.
Or you're looking to buy some real estate. Maybe a lot of people on the downswing take advantage of that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So if you are, whatever situation you are in, Nashville, all the time, the conversation is about housing in there. But if you're looking to buy or sell, there's no better person to make sure that you get the best deal possible. And that's Brad Reynolds, a sponsor of our show. You can go to thinkbrad.com right now to learn more about Brad Reynolds. He has an amazing YouTube channel on a lot of things Nashville in the market as well, and that is at Think Brad on YouTube. You can contact Brad on Instagram. That handle is on there, or you can call or text him 615-856-3270. All you need to know is if you're thinking Nashville, to think Brad. Okay, so we have a good amount of the program today going to be dedicated towards Nashville suing. What's the headlines say Tennessee, but that's a little bit vague, and we'll go into a little more details.
They're suing Governor Bill Lee and the Speaker of the House and the Lieutenant Governor and somebody else.
But Lieutenant Governor has enough on his plate right now.
It's an interesting world.
We don't even have time in the program today to go over what's been going on with the Lieutenant Governor. But we are going to be talking a lot about Nashville and what's going on with that lawsuit here in a little bit. So stay tuned for that. Let us know in the comments right now if you have anything that that you want to discuss in there. Maybe we'll read it.
Do
on
we all
air.
Just want to join in on this lawsuit? See if we can get something.
I don't know if we can.
I have no idea.
don't know if we can. Yeah, I don't know if the lawsuit is standing on enough legs on its own right now. So
it's an interesting space to be. All right, the next few minutes we're going to talk about some Nashville restaurants and new restaurants coming to Nashville, and we're going to start off with this one. It's called Black Market Bar Plus Grill, and they have announced their third location. They're a Birmingham-based restaurant.
I wonder why they don't use the and symbol.
I don't know. Plus grill sounds easier.
Plus grill.
It's plus a grill. So this is a Birmingham-based restaurant. This is going to be their third location, and they're opening in Printer's Alley. So interesting choice.
Yeah.
Printer's Alley has a lot of really good local music, like Skull's Rainbow Room, Bourbon Street Blues. It has a few speakeasies there. So it's going to be really interesting to see exactly where they're going in Printer's Alley. You also have Daddy's Dogs. But it's a really interesting atmosphere. It's a bunch of comic books, B-movies, and punk rock decor.
Yeah. They're going to have dinner, lunch, brunch there.
Dinner, lunch, brunch. We need to turn that into
dinner, lunch, brunch. Nashville. So
get your reservations in advance.
This is interesting. They've in Birmingham. They're in a Birmingham Five Points neighborhood. Okay. I didn't know Birmingham had a Five Points neighborhood.
I'm not in Birmingham that often, so I don't really know.
Now we do. Just a side note, Stuart, I have to tell you, I saw something on Facebook Marketplace that is hilarious, that would be very interesting, just history-wise here in Nashville. I'll pull up the screenshot and I'll show you. Sorry, Nick, that we don't have this for you. But I found on Facebook Marketplace a Mercedes Sprinter van that's really expensive, way out of anybody's price range, you know, like $210,000. But look who, here you go, take the phone, look who is selling it.
Oh, Timothy DeMumbrian, the first settler of Nashville.
Yeah, or at least his descendants are selling.
But you were on Facebook Marketplace last week, and you said that you can buy tombstones.
You can buy grave sites. On the Facebook Marketplace was selling the grave sites that were near George Jones's plot.
But they were mad expensive.
Oh, yeah. It was like $10,000 to $15,000 in order to do that, depending on if you have to move somebody to get there, if you just want to buy the site. It was very interesting.
Do you remember that
Facebook
one time?
Marketplace is a weird place.
It's a weird place. It's like the Wild West.
Yeah.
do you remember that one time we were driving in some back road in Tennessee?
Yes.
And
yes.
We passed this place, and it was buy one, get one tombstones.
It was on a billboard.
Yeah, buy one, get one tombstones.
It was like
$4.95.
It was like they were selling anything else that was like buy one, like they're selling cowboy boots. Buy two, get one free.
As seen on TV.
It was like
buy one, get one tombstone.
No, it was a grave plot.
No, it was the tombstone for that one.
It was a tombstone?
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't remember if it was a tombstone or a grave plot.
I think you get both. Tombstone and a grave plot. Let's get back to the restaurant.
What a deal. Okay.
Yeah, it's my one going. That's seen on TV, everybody. All right, so we have, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but they have officially opened, and this is Hearts. This is an Australian cafe that opened initially on Gallatin Avenue in East Nashville, and they just opened a 12 South location across the street from Edley's.
Do you think they're in that old Forks drum closet?
I can't remember if that was knocked down. Or the Christian bookstore was knocked down.
The Christian bookstore.
There was like a jewelry store
warehouse.
It's one of those.
Yeah. My guess is it's in the old Forks, but
I can't remember. It's honestly been a month since I've driven through 12 South, so I can't.
Good for you.
Been a while. I need to go down there. But Hearts is amazing.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Hearts is really one of those places where they don't really expect a lot out of like a small like coffee shop, cafe type environment as far as food, but they knock it out of the park.
They have like this ketchup that's like sweet.
It's like a jam.
But it's more of a jam than ketchup.
Yeah.
But they have this like sausage thing that goes with the ketchup. It's like a little sausage like biscuit.
One of the best
it's so good
combinations I've ever had.
All right, so restaurant roundup from the Business Journal. We talked about this, I believe, on Monday's episode. Peg Leg Porker was named the best barbecue in Tennessee
by Southern Living
magazine. I don't think it's the best barbecue in Tennessee, but we talked about that on Monday. We don't have to devolve into that any longer.
This gets me a little more excited. A new breakfast spot is opening in East Nashville. Inside of East Nashville's newest boutique hotel, the Waymores Guest House and Casual Club.
That's a name.
They are opening for daily breakfast from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. by executive chef Daniel Gorman. Waymores offers a breakfast menu of classics like avocado toast, baked egg. Okay, this makes me less excited now because it's more of your sit down. I like really a good grab and go breakfast place. This doesn't seem like it's going to be it, but if you're into like the avocado toast, baked eggs, hot cakes, and stuff like that, then this is going to be the place. I haven't heard a lot about Waymore.
Instead of saying hot cakes, we should start saying hot takes. But replace hot takes with hot cakes.
Hot takes on the hot cakes.
This is your hot cake.
This is your hot cake hot take.
I like the company they partnered with to make this restaurant. It's Bullwhip Capital Partners.
Nice.
That's a pretty cool name.
So apparently it's across from Butcher and Bee. Has 93 rooms, 15 suites.
Do you remember that was hit by the tornado? It was going to open as the Field House.
Oh, that was the... Okay, yeah. I see.
And then I think they changed hands a little while
that
ago.
That makes sense, because Field House hotel. Didn't end up becoming... anything. All right. Speaking of local eateries, I recently went to Waldo's Chicken and Beer in Germantown.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to their Franklin location yet?
No, I don't think so. They've expanded. They have. They've opened up a lot of locations recently.
Didn't they do like Huntsville too? And
I think so.
Somewhere else.
But I went to the Germantown location. Good free parking. For there, you just get one of those like ticket things, free for 90 minutes.
Get it validated.
Yep, get it validated. I got just their basic chicken sandwich, like their just like a fried thigh on a chicken sandwich. And their fries are really good. They're seasoned really well. And they have these kind of small cheddar biscuits with a really rich butter that comes with it. That's always really good. And it came out in like 3 minutes.
That's not bad.
For a fast casual place.
Yeah.
Which was faster than normal. So
that's not bad.
It was really good.
I had, is it called Smoking Pits? The one down in Chapel Hill?
Oh.
Smoking something.
Holy Smokes.
Holy Smokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's this barbecue restaurant in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. It's small, hole in the wall, maybe has 15 tabletops. Like to sit at.
That's generous.
Maybe it's close to it. But I got something that it's not usually at a barbecue restaurant. And this was a fried pork chop on a sandwich.
Yep.
It was super interesting. So you customize your toppings. So I got pickles and onions with it.
Okay.
And then I got a Carolina sweet sauce.
Oh, interesting.
Like a sweet honey mustard sauce. And it was a really good sandwich. The price was fantastic. $5.99 for a sandwich.
Man. You
can't beat that.
Miss those prices.
Yeah, you can't beat that in Nashville. Yeah. You're paying $18 for a sandwich. And then for my sides, I got the corn nuggets, which are, they're the only barbecue restaurant in Middle Tennessee that does corn nuggets.
That we know of.
That we know of.
Yeah.
And I'll confidently say that I know, yeah, that I fully know of. And I've been to a lot of barbecue restaurants in Middle Tennessee. But there are these little corn nuggets, and it's like fried with corn inside. They're fantastic. And then their red skin potato salad.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so good.
It is. Like, it's really good.
It's probably one of the better potato salads in yeah. the Nashville barbecue market.
Yeah. I mostly trust barbecue restaurants to do potato salads.
You would think.
The best ones that I've had have been more at a barbecue restaurant compared to it being served at a more fine dining place or just a regular casual dining place. But yeah.
My favorite potato salad I've ever had, and Joey sitting in the control room, is from the Chef and I.
Mm.
They do a hot potato salad with their burger, and it's fantastic.
Oh, so it's hot.
Yes.
Because the one we had at Holy Smokes was cold.
And most people do cold.
Yeah.
But the hot potato salad from the Chef and I is my favorite in Nashville.
Nice.
But the red skin potato salad is probably my favorite outside of Nashville.
The little asterisk there. Outside of Nashville.
Which anything 10 miles outside of Nashville is outside of Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, all right, true.
So I said your haircut looks pretty good.
Yeah.
We got our haircuts done at Bowtie Barber Club in Donelson. This is our go-to place. Especially for my beard trims, you could visit them at bowtiebarberclub.com. They do haircuts. They do beard trims. They do straight razor shaves. Look at Aaron's hair right now. This is amazing. Look at this. Oh, yes.
Solid fade right there.
Solid fade.
Yeah. It feels good. Like, it's just, you know, those feelings when you get a haircut and you're like, oh, it just feels so good. Like, your head, I don't know how to describe it. Like, your head is just relieved.
We also did. We also did a shot of whiskey before we got our haircuts.
Yeah,
so that was fun.
That's
I had some Winter Jack, which is one of my favorite whiskeys, and it's a great place. I would highly recommend it. BowtieBarberClub.com. So now let's get into the meat and the potatoes. I really wish I had meat and potatoes in front of me right now. Because I'm hungry.
Good connection points there.
Good connection right there. Yeah. So there's been a lot of controversy recently, and let's get a little background before we talk about this lawsuit. And
you don't feel like a lot of controversy.
It feels like we've talked about this like 10 times over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But
and
here we are.
This is interesting because I should have seen this coming.
I've saw it coming.
And I did not. Oh. So
I definitely saw it coming last week when the city of Nashville said there's going to be legal repercussions. So basically the context is the city of Nashville is now suing the state of Tennessee and a few of its affiliates, Governor Bill Lee, Speaker of the House, and a few other people. And the reason for that is the state of Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee, signed into law last week on Friday the cutting in half of Metro Council.
Well, it limits the size of all Metro city councils across the state to 20. Yeah,
I was wrong in my language, but that's what the person who's filed this lawsuit has said. Oh, this is specifically targeted towards Nashville, and it's not. We read the bill last week.
The motivations may be, but the bill is not.
The bill is not. It is statewide. So it's going to be really interesting how this pans out in the Tennessee Supreme Court, because this is probably going to go to the Tennessee Supreme Court at some point.
So even more backstory of to why this even came up in the first place, because I do believe if certain actions would have happened, we wouldn't be here right now. So this was earlier in 2022. The RNC was looking to possibly, and I think strongly hinting that they wanted to be here in Nashville, but Nashville had to really submit a formal bid. There's a really hard process for...
And Tennessee gave, like, they were going to give $25 million in security costs and other things to allow this to happen.
So Metro Council here in Nashville couldn't really reach an agreement that everybody liked in order to take the steps to submit that formal bid. But there was a deadline, and Tennessee, as a state, said, we will give these funds to make sure it happens, or these breaks, or whatever it needs for a DNC or an RNC. But the RNC was a little more timely, and they had showed interest in Nashville. And so Metro Council really just said, we're not going to submit a bid. And so the RNC chose, was it Milwaukee over Nashville?
It was one of those cities,
yeah. Or something like that. And so the state was very furious. I mean, there's a lot of money that could have been made with a DNC or an RNC coming to Nashville. And so there were a lot of funds lost for what the state thinks was very political reasons why Nashville's Metro Council, which does this is like an unbiased thing. They lean more to the left, Metro Council as a whole. Anybody who knows the Metro Nashville politics will tell you this. And so the state laid a number of measures to try and really seek revenge is not the right word, but maybe some repercussions on there, like threatened to take the Metro Sports Authority, take the
airport authority,
to take the
tax burden or
tax incentives away from Music City Center and limit the size of Metro Council statewide, which would hit Nashville. And so everything essentially got dropped from the state level except for this. And this one went through
as of right now, there's still talks about the Sports Authority one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So it passed by the House, the Senate, signed by the governor, and
became law.
We see on Monday afternoon-ish, the city announced that they are suing over this measure and this new law, which takes us to where we are right now.
Yeah, so we're going to read from the Nashville Business Journal just to give you guys a little bit more context what's happening. And what's fascinating is I've clicked every single link in the Nashville Business Journal, and none of these links take me directly to the bill that was signed.
Well, that's
into
dumb.
Law. And so I know we literally read this last week, and now I'm trying to have
it just links to other articles.
Okay, so this is from the Nashville Business Journal. Metro Nashville is suing top state officials, arguing that new law slashing the size of Metro Council violates the state constitution and will jeopardize running the state's largest economic engine.
Yeah, and that's a really good summary right there at the beginning, because really this lawsuit is going to take this probably to the Tennessee Supreme Court, where they will decide does the law that was put into place and signed by Governor Bill Lee actually have constitutional grounds, or does it go against Tennessee's constitution to do that? We're going to dig into this. My guess is going to be it doesn't really have a whole lot of the law is going to end up holding, and that it's going to find that there's not really a whole lot that would say in the Tennessee Constitution that this law can't be put into place.
I think we need to spend some episodes going line by line in the Tennessee State Constitution.
Or at least have somebody who's maybe in constitutional law or something come on and give us a little more insight.
The interesting factor in all of this, and we have to keep this in mind, is Metro Council at the 40 members is the third largest council in the United States.
Yep.
New York City, Chicago, then us. We are ranked in population like 27th nationwide.
Right.
And so we have to keep that in mind.
Right.
And it's really fascinating. We've had a lot of conversations over the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Going to different towns outside of Nashville and asking, how big is your Metro Council? And Murfreesboro is like, yeah, it's like six. And then Smyrna is like three.
No, Smyrna was six, too.
But then some of these other small towns are like, yeah, it's like two people.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is, and this is what I've...
And I understand you have the population and you have the... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I've kind of talked about, because the biggest argument that we've heard from people who are opposed to this law has been that we lose representation if we don't. Which I don't think is a strong argument that stands, because
how many people are seeking it?
Well, it's not even that, but you know, they don't have any kind of solution to, okay, well, what is the limit of number of people we need per representative? Because if it's never going to be enough, then just increase the size of Metro Council infinitely until we're at a 1-to-10 ratio. And so there's really not a whole lot of stance I think that argument has, because we're seeing it done all across the country with a little bit of a more equal representation as to maybe what the 20 members would be as to what they are with 40 members. So one thing that I think is interesting, it mentions here in the Business Journal, is that Metro is seeking a more immediate injunction to prevent the law from taking effect and order that Metro's August 3rd election happen as if the law had not been enacted. Do you think that that injunction is going to be in effect, and that August 3rd election, which will elect a new Metro Council members, a new mayor, which will not be affected by this? Do you think that injunction will happen? Because if it doesn't, then essentially what the bill is saying is that Metro Council will just essentially stay in place and they'd elect in 2024, not 2023.
Yes, it's interesting. And we talked about this the last time we talked about this topic, which was Friday, I believe. It's interesting because of all the time that would have to go into rezoning all of the different districts, reducing the districts from 35 to potentially 15 if they're still going to do 5 council members at large.
And arguably that would be the most difficult part of this situation.
It's figuring that out. So there's 35 districts in Davidson County, and there's 5 at-large council members. So the issue here is, will they reduce this down to 18 districts with 2 council members at large, or do they reduce it to 15 districts with 5 council members at large? It's a really
Don't sound ideal.
They don't. And it's really fascinating because who are these map like overlayers that's doing this?
Yeah,
in the sense of like,
well, I think there
redistricting
are
redistricting those maps.
Well, I think there is an actual constitutional process
to who
those people are.
Yeah.
So we know who those people are.
Yeah, we could probably look that up and find out their names. But
usually it is the now for a state, I believe it is the party in power who does that, if I remember correctly.
But then doesn't it go to the election commission?
But it's every 10 years that happens.
From a federal standpoint,
and I think a state standpoint too. Okay. But I really can't remember for a city standpoint.
And we're not lawyers. We don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything we say here is at our discretion. And if we're inaccurate,
don't hold us liable, yeah, please.
Don't hold us liable. We have insurance for that. But
So... Metro's lawsuit, it says here in the Business Journal, it says Metro's lawsuit warns that allowing the law to stand will give the General Assembly a blank check to rewrite the rules for city county governments such as Metro.
I disagree.
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of that in there. Yeah. But yeah, that will be interesting. I'd like to, as always, and I say this all the time when I read these articles, like I would like to know a little bit more of why. Let's continue to read to see if it says a little bit more why. The Metro argues the law will sow political chaos, create significant voter confusion. The Metro already messed up the voting last time.
Yes.
Dilute voter representation, jeopardize running the state's largest economic engine. And it does all this in a rushed and haphazard fashion without any purported public policy goal. Despite the General Assembly's recent claim that Metro Council is inefficient and that the city's finances are in disarray, I think that's more than a claim. Metro Nashville is currently generating more revenue for the state of Tennessee than perhaps in its entire history, enjoys a bond rating of AA+, and has the lowest property tax rate of any major city in the state.
All right, so I was wrong about the names on the lawsuit. So the 3 defendants, Governor Billy, Secretary of State Trey Haggart, and Mark Goins, the state coordinator of elections. So
okay.
it's not
Randy McNally.
Yeah, it's not the lieutenant governor. So I was wrong on that.
He's probably very relieved.
He's probably, yes, with all the social media stuff. So if we go down into this article, it says drawing new districts are already underway. Metro's planning department. So we were wrong about all of that. So it's Metro's planning department has begun the work of creating new council districts.
The wonders of what reading this can
yeah,
do.
Yeah, we should have probably read this beforehand. The first step is for
this
Metro
is a blind
Council.
Reaction.
Yeah, this is literally blind because I saw the headline and I was like, oh, let's talk about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And here we are. The first step is for Metro Council to decide how many districts to create, including whether or to have any at-large members. Currently, the council has 35 districts and 5 at-large members. Just talked about that. Council could decide on the number of districts at a special called meeting on March 22nd, which is coming up very soon. And that may be the second reading of the Tennessee Titans Stadium.
Ooh, that's going to be a Metro Council meeting to watch.
I think they're moving that to April 4th. Remember, I think they deferred one of the readings to April 4th.
Yeah.
But that would be a Metro Council meeting to watch.
It sounds like these all are upcoming.
Are the boxing gloves coming out? That's the big question. The planning department is tasked with drawing the districts, a process that normally takes into account more than just ensuring a roughly equal population in each district. Under the new law, the Metro Planning Commission would have to formalize district boundaries by April 8th.
Dang.
Wow. Metro Council would then need to vote to approve the new district lines by May 1st.
That's a little quick.
And they're voting on the Titan Stadium. So the question is the Titan Stadium going to be deferred for longer votes to be focused on this?
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions.
That is very interesting. That's very quick, especially since they are looking to defer the Metro Council vote until next year. Yeah. It seems like a little quick, but if they can do it, great.
So these boundaries would be represented through 2031.
Okay. Yep. Which is, I remember in 2021, that was the redrawing of pretty much everything again. If the new districts aren't set by then, the state law extends the term of existing council members by... Oh, okay.
Well, that answers all the questions.
This gets even more interesting. So, what the Business Journal says, if the new districts aren't set by then, which is that May 1st deadline, or approved probably by that May 1st deadline, the state law extends the term of existing council members by 1 year, and orders a special council election with the new districts to happen in August 2024. See, I had assumed that that was just already the case if the law was going to take place, that the election would be in 2024 instead of this year. But if they do redraw the districts in that quick fashion and it does get approved, and who's going to have to approve them? Metro Council, right?
This is bizarre.
Then they would be essentially deciding their own fate, whether or not the election would happen for these new 20 positions out of the 40 this year or next year.
Yeah, so that's bizarre.
This is very interesting.
But this is the more bizarre part. The 2023 to 2024 fiscal budget has not been approved by Metro Council yet, and John Cooper has not released it because his state of Nashville address should be happening within the next 3 or 4 weeks. So on top of the Titan Stadium, and on top of choosing their own fate, they have to vote for the fiscal year budget of 2023 to 2024. This is an interesting showdown. This is like pulling straws type situations, like how they used to gamble.
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting. Like, I've never really, I think once or twice said.
And we're the only ones that like really watch the Metro Council besides some other people.
Besides the news. Council, yeah. The news and the journalists, they're all there. But if there's ever a time where I've said, I'm kind of curious as to what goes on here and not find out the next day. Like,
I'm kind of curious if I'm on the move to Wilson County. Is that more of a realistic possibility for me? I don't know. Yeah. We're going to stay in Nashville for a while, but it's an interesting showdown of everything that they're voting on. Let us know in the comments what your thoughts are. Aaron, do you have any closing thoughts on this?
Probably, but we'll have to see. The interesting part is the Planning Commission. Because it seems like everything's going to ride on them. So, like, who has influence over the Planning Commission?
Better get the job done.
And is the Metro Council going to have to approve their own fate by approving those plans? So, those are some interesting factors to really think about.
I think there needs to be a song about this, a rap song about Metro Council approving their own fate.
A rap song?
Yeah.
Country song?
Country song. Rap. We'll see. Rap country.
Thank you for listening to the Nashville Daily Podcast. If you want to learn more, head to NashvilleDailyPodcast.com.
You can also follow us on social media at Explore.Nash on Instagram, Nashville Daily Podcast on YouTube, and Explore.Nash on YouTube as well.
The Nashville Daily Podcast is an Explore LLC production, copyright 2023.